You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Welcome along to William Hill's Boxing Podcast with the one and only Steve Bunce on the line. You well, Steve? Ready for another busy weekend?
Do you know, I've calculated, Lee, that this weekend, if you were sitting in front of several TV screens, you can watch as many as 75 live professional fights.
Wow.
From different parts of the world. And that ranges from Manny Pacquiao, who we'll be talking to different bills in Britain, where there are three different women topping three different bills in Britain. I mean, we don't live in strange times. We're living in revolutionary days.
Yeah, yeah. And exciting stuff coming up. We had a good weekend last weekend with the
with the
younger heavyweights. We've got the heavyweights this weekend who are maybe just sitting below that top tier of world level, although Dillian White would argue with me on that one. Let's have a quick chat before we get into them about the top tier of heavyweight boxers, Buncey. Anthony Joshua has released a video on his YouTube channel, the first real sign we've seen of him since the defeat to Andy Ruiz Jr. He's unbelievably, really. He's 100-30 on to beat Ruiz Jr. in the rematch, whenever that happens. 5-2 Ruiz Jr. and 25-2 on the draw. And interestingly enough, Tyson Fury gave you an exclusive on your BBC podcast this week, given the date is February the 22nd next year for the fight with Deontay Wilder. That's virtually a pick'em, but Fury's the favourite, 8-11. Deontay Wilder 11-10 and 18-1 the draw there. Still bubbling away, Buncey. There's a story every week about these four, isn't there?
There is, and there's going to be a few next week as far as I can make it out. I've heard that Deontay Wilder's injured.
Right.
And I'm not going to say this is fact. But
No.
And that's one of the reasons why the Dillian White fight, which we'll talk about in a minute, has been called an interim title fight.
Interesting.
Because, you know, if you think about it, it's been called an interim WBC title fight, him and Rivas. But why is it called an interim? Because Deontay Wilder's meant to be fighting in, September against Luis Ortiz. Anyway, all will be revealed. Tyson Fury won't fight on February or whatever it is. It'll be slightly later than that, perhaps as late as May, but he will fight. In theory, he will fight Wilder, of course, but if Wilder has to pull out of the Ortiz fight, that might get pushed back. Basically, everyone's talking, everyone's doing bits and pieces. We're not even sure that Joshua and Ruiz are going to have a rematch.
No.
We're taking it for granted. Hey-ho, as they say in the trade, all will be revealed soon. Probably during one of Tyson Fury's talking appearances where he's on a massive mental health push and or on Anthony Joshua's YouTube channel. You can bet your life on one of those two things.
There'll be no journalists there, wherever they do it.
No, listen, it will be all fun and games.
Indeed.
Yes. And that's the good thing, isn't it?
Yeah. let's start off, Buncey, before we get to this heavyweight, but let's start off at the MGM Grand in Vegas. Manny Pacquiao would often be the last person that we talk about on this podcast, but we'll do it the other way around for once. Pac-Man, 61 wins, 7 defeats, 2 draws in his record there. He's been stopped 3 times, of course. His last loss was that unanimous decision loss to Jeff Horn. Since then, he's beaten Lucas Matisse, he's beaten Adrian Broner as well. Maybe that Adrian Broner win has been maybe dampened in terms of a form guide a little. He's fighting Keith Thurman at this time, Buncey, who's got a record of 29-0, 22 stoppages in his career. He was last seen in the ring beating Josecito Lopez back in January of this year, but that was his first fight since his win over Danny Garcia back in 2017. So he's had a long time out of the ring. 30 years old now, Keith Thurman. He wasn't overly impressive against Lopez, getting a majority decision in the Barclays Centre. The betting has Manny Pacquiao as an 8-11 favourite, Keith Thurman 6-5, the draw 20-1. Enhanced odds, Pacquiao to win by stoppage. Was 4-1, now 5-1. That's not something that he's been doing that much. Obviously, he beat Lucas Matisse by stoppage, but that's the only stoppage he's had since beating...
10 years almost.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think it was Cotto maybe the last stoppage he had.
Cotto after Hatton.
Yes, yeah, that's right. I mean, that seems quite fresh in the mind, Buncey, but it's absolutely years ago. It's 10 years ago. Amazing.
Those were two astounding wins, both of them in theory were against the form guide and certainly against what people thought might happen. People thought he might beat Hatton, but no one thought he was going to knock him out like he did, as brutally as he did.
Yeah.
Ditto Cotto. I don't have a problem with the Joseito Lopez victory in January of this year by Thurman, because I think he was shaking off nearly 2 years of ring rust. And how better to do it in a really good, hard 12-rounder where he certainly found his eye, found his pace, found his rhythm as the fight went on. So I think that had he destroyed him in 3 or 4 rounds, to me, that wouldn't have been the preparation you need for a fight like this, because he was already being mentioned late last year as a potential one of many on a Pacquiao shopping list. So it's all down to the senator, really, the Filipino senator, 40 years of age, a pro for 1,000,001 days, 1995. 21 years ago, he won his first world title at 30-odd pounds below the weight he's going to be boxing at the MGM. As you say, 70 fights, all those stats. But he's stood stats on their head before. He's made a ridicule of form guides in the past. We just mentioned there the Cotto and Hatton fights a decade ago. Can he do it now? I mean, he was 10 years younger then. He didn't have all of the political commitments that he now has, and they're severe commitments. You know, it's not lip service. He's not a senator because he's playing at it. He's a senator because he's got his eyes on the big job, the presidency. Let's not mince our words. Can he do it? I think it's a hard ask. I really do. I like Thurman. He's one of those unspectacular guys that come along every generation who win things, seldom lose, and he hasn't lost at all at the moment. But somehow doesn't get the accolades of some of the men he's beaten in the past. Sean Porter was, for a brief period, one of the top fighters and everyone loved him. Danny Garcia was one of the top fighters and everyone loved him for a long time. He beat a pair of those, both over 12 rounds. By the way, Joseito Lopez, perfectly good challenger, perfectly good fighter at that weight. And he's held a version of the title now for 6 or so years. Admittedly, he had a long break off. He had an injury to his wrist, I think an injury to his elbow or shoulder, or who cares, he had an injury. He went walking in the Himalayan mountains, met his Nepalese bride, and he's very content and very happy. Half like the war of words. It's a little bit, I think Thurman feels a little bit upset that he's been cast as, you know, a guy without the experience, without the form guy, and he'll just get stood on his head by Tiny Pacquiao. No, I think he's a big lump, Thurman. He's been a big boy for a long, long time. And I know he's beaten big men, Manny. Don't get me wrong. But a lot of big men he's beaten are men that have stepped up from, you know, a bit of a natural lower poundage. I think it's a really hard fight for Manny. Now, he could be just too busy, turn back the clock with his footwork and win on points comfortably. But I fancy it goes 12. And I'd like to think Thurman will get the decision. That's my one problem here, Lee. I can see there being a controversial vote in Manny's favour. I fancy Thurman, but I think Manny's going to end up getting the decision.
Right. Okay. Right. Interesting. Yeah.
Which is something you can't bet on.
No, that's true. Yeah. It's not something.
He won. No, honestly, he did. He just didn't get the decision.
Yeah.
That doesn't cut it with a bookie.
No, I can assure you. You're right about that. Thurman on points is 15-8, so it's a smidgen under 2-1, and Manny Pacquiao by decision or technical decision is 7-5. So whichever way you do go on that, for the fight to go the distance is 1-3. So I think, you know, whichever way you're going on this, there's no point in really betting on the actual bout betting. You may as well just stick your pick in with. We'll stick Manny Pacquiao in there, and then Bunce, even though that's not what you think will happen, your experience means that you have to go for that one. You've seen too many things happen in the ring.
Absolutely.
So we're going to go with that one.
Pacquiao fight.
Yeah.
And both ways.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, who knows which way. Let's go to the 0-2 then. Cracking Bill lined up. We're going to just have a very quick mention of Lawrence Okolie, one of the William Hill sponsored boxers, is in action this weekend, Bunce, against Mariano Angel Gudino, Argentinian 31-year-old who's got a record of 13-2. He's been stopped once. His two losses came last year. He's since won this year back in May. Lawrence Okolie, his record is 12-0, 9 stoppages in there. The last time he went the distance was against Matty Eskin. I mean, you didn't give him problems, I suppose, but Okolie was deducted 3 points.
Three points deducted Okolie,
so that's probably his hardest night in the ring, you would say.
No, probably, and if he'd have lost that night, there wouldn't have been a problem. He might have won the rematch, but yeah, had he not got the decision that night, there would not have been a scream.
Yeah, Wadi Camacho was his last outing, stopped him in four. This is one of those bouts where the odds are pretty prescriptive, Bunsy. 1-33, Acoli. 10-1, Godino. But because we sponsor him, we've got loads of different markets. That's why I'm bringing it up. So if we can pick some rounds out, if you think he's going to stop Godino, we can pick some rounds out. We might get a nice little bet here.
It is. I'm going. I went to see the open training session the other day. Glorious. It was in the shadow of Tower Bridge. The sun was out. There were about 500 or 600 people, maybe more, at lunchtime. You didn't have to pay to get in. You didn't even have to register or get a wristband. You just wandered out from your office to this lovely bit of green called Potter's Fields. It was idyllic. It was lovely. And Acoli's a beast. I like Acoli. I like the way he's working with Shane McGuigan. And my gut feeling is he'll get the job done. I don't think he'll get the job done in one or two rounds, but I'd be amazed if our tough Argentinian is here after about seven. So my gut feeling is 4-7, 5-7, something like that.
Yeah, well, we've got the second half of the fight, Bunty, is 13-5. Which,
just after six.
Yeah, so I mean, I know you're taking a little bit of a risk there, but it might be worth it just to see if you can stick around a few more.
Tough Argentinians don't fall on the floor, even if they're battered. So, and Acoli doesn't go all out. He's not going to just come out blazing. So, hey, listen, can we hear the first bell in the seventh? Yes. Will we hear the first bell in the ninth? I doubt it. Yeah. But yeah, let's go that. Let's go 7-8.
Yeah. There's a fight that I'm looking forward to. And it's not the top of the bill fight. Dave Allen versus Dave Price.
What a fight. What a great night.
this is a really intriguing one. Dave Allen, 17-4-2, had an up and down career, but seems to have got his head on, and now he's really treating the game seriously. Not that he wasn't before, but it just seems like he's on the right track now. 27 years old from Donny. He's been stopped twice himself. His last loss came against Tony Yoka back in June of 2018. He's fought five times since then, Bunty, so he's been very active. The last one was the stoppage against Lucas Brown. David Price, I mean, similarly, a fairly checkered career. 36 years old, obviously the Liverpoolian, 24-6. Every time he's lost, he's been stopped, but obviously last time was against Sergei Kuzmin. Before that, it was Alexander Povetkin, which was a cracking little fight. Christine Hammer obviously had those two stoppages against Tony Thompson, which was what derailed his career, Bunty, really, and came as a bit of a surprise at the time. 2-5, Dave Allen. 7-4, wow. David Price. So, I mean, that's a short price for Dave Allen, isn't it, against Price, who can still bang. It's not like, you know, there's a fairly decent height difference between these two as well. Yeah. Dave Allen stands around 6'3", doesn't he? And Dave Price, obviously, is more around 6'8". What do you reckon to that? I was quite surprised. I thought it would be closer than that on the betting.
Well, Dave Allen has managed to transfix and sort of convince people that the Dave Allen we used to see, the roly-poly Dave Allen that floated through fights with people and either got stopped on his feet like he did against Luis Ortiz or lost comfortably in a sort of odd maul with Dillian White, which people overlook from a couple of years ago. Yeah. But that guy's gone. That the guy we saw land that brilliant body shot to knock out Lucas Brown, which, by the way, in the heavyweight pantheon is a terrific shot and a hard shot to deliver for big men to deliver well. That Dave Allen is not the old Dave Allen, you know, the one that he floated through careers and didn't know what he was doing and was skint and didn't have any money and blah, 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 and all that stuff. It's a dangerous fight for David Price. But if Pricey just does what Pricey has done and can do since way before he won the bronze medal in the 2008 Olympics, if he just concentrates on boxing, if he could just retain all of his confidence, it's a walk in the park for him. He's got so many physical advantages. Plus, he's got a right hand that Anthony Joshua admits dropped him in sparring, and that just about everybody acknowledges, including Alexander Povetkin, who, of course, stopped him. But, you know, acknowledges it's a great shot. So if he just can relax and just use the jab and drop the right hand in, then he shouldn't have a single problem. The problem is Dave Allen gets to fighters, he gets close, he starts swinging hooks. And I think the general reading from talking to people the other day, and I've seen the pair of them box probably a combined total of about 60 times, to be honest, because I saw Pricey all the way through his amateur career. The simple thinking is that Allen doesn't get hit with a right hand for 5 or 6 rounds, Pricey blows up and gets stopped on his feet in 8 or 9. That's the sensible thinking, and that would probably be the best bet. But I'm just fancying Pricey here. I'm fancying Pricey right down the stretch, right, or on points. It's a complete a go against what form should say. I think the bet is White. It's always Allen in about 8 or 9 rounds. Mm-hmm. But I'm going for Price, and I'm going for Price very late in the fight or points.
Yeah, we don't really have to go anywhere with that one. It's like I say, he's nearly 2-1 to win the fight, Price. So we'll just stick that in the acca if it comes off. Going to be an entertaining one. Whatever happens,
it's a great fight. Yeah. It's the fight that I want to. It's the domestic fight this year. I've really fancied it, and it's got everything about it.
Yeah, and you look at some of the names who have been chucked in with that top, that elite level. Then you know, you're only a fight or two away from being chucked in with one of those guys and getting a massive payday, aren't you?
Of course you are.
Let's have a look at a man who's been there and done it. Derek Chisora, 30 wins, 9 defeats, 3 stoppages. His last defeat coming against Dillian White, of course, in the rematch, which, of course, he lost the first fight as well. We've talked about Del Boy Chisora a lot. We know the level of people that he's been in, including Fury twice, of course, with Vitaly Klitschko as well. Long, illustrious career, Buncey, and still there doing it, and feels like he's kind of revitalised, fighting Artur Splitka, the Polish fighter who's 30 years old, 22-3 his record. He's been stopped every time he's lost, last time against Adam Kwanacki, and back in 2017, also beaten by Deontay Wilder in 2016 as well. So again, you know, he's been around, he's been in with, you know, good guys as well, like Brian Jennings way back. And Thomas Adamek. Where's Chisora? I mean, Chisora must be the thing that I've just said about those fights, Allen and Price. Chisora must have the same thing in his mind. He knows he must be coming towards the end of his career, but he's only a fight away from getting put in with in one of those another world title fight.
Hey, listen, all of the Price, Allen, and Dale, you're so right, and Spitzka. Let's get this right. You know, the best two from those two, and if they win well, then they've got to be on the list. Mm. They could have been on the list like Dominic Brazil was on the list the other week. You remember the other month for fighting Wilder? They could be on the list like Big Thomas Schwartz was on the list for fighting Fury. Yeah. Absolutely right, they could. They could be on the list for Tyson Fury's October 5th fight at Madison Square Garden. And that's what the four fighters here we're talking about. I fancy Del Boy, and I don't know if you'll get to him. It might be, you know, Derek tends to settle into a grueling fashion. I know he took out Takum last year when he was behind on points. My gut feeling is it's Derek late or Derek on points. That's my gut feeling. If he gets outworked, it's because he's taking his eye off the price. I'm going Derek late.
Yeah, well, Derek Chisora on points is 13-8. You can have Derek Chisora in rounds 9 or 10, 8-1, 7 or 8, 13-2, or the second half of the fight, Buncey, which I think you'll like, 3-1.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, I like that as well.
Chisora, I really like that. Half of the fight.
Yeah, looks a decent bet, that one, that 3-1. I think that's one of my favourite bets of the night. And finally, let's have a look at Dillian White versus Oscar Rivas. Dillian White, 25-1, that one defeat. When he was stopped by Anthony Joshua, of course, which has really been the catalyst for him to change the way he approaches his career. Obviously in Loughborough now, and the amount of boxing that he gets through, the amount of fights that he gets through, he's right at the coalface. We know we've talked long and hard, and you know there's a lot of column inches written and a lot of chat on various YouTube channels about, you know, how he's been overlooked here, there, and everywhere. Here's another tough fight that he's getting into though, Buncey. It's not an easy one, this one. Oscar Rivas, the Colombian who now resides in Canada, 26-0. He's stopped 18 of his opponents. Last seen stopping Bryant Jennings in January this year. How much do we know about this guy, other than the fact that he looks pretty dangerous, but I mean, the fighters that he's beaten, they're not names that we would immediately go, oh yeah, I know who that is. But when you look down their win, lost, drawn column, there's not many losses in any of those in recent years. No. There's 4 or 5. It's not like he's fighting people who've got, you know, 26 wins, 21 defeats. Absolutely. And 3 draws. These are all like 2s and 0s and 2s and 5s and 3s, just from a different part of the world to us.
Yeah, well, he also fought he's fought some good guys as an amateur at Olympics. He's beaten really good fighters as an amateur. I wouldn't have taken this fight. I told Derek, I told Gillian that when it was announced 6-7 weeks ago, and he was quite upset. And like I said, I'm just telling you, I said, you risked it, in my opinion, with the Lucas Brown fight last year. You risked your position with the Joseph Parker fight. You could have been stopped in the last round. No one would have complained. And you risked it with a rematch with Del Boy. Just because you won all three of those fights doesn't make you or the people around you geniuses. Yeah. You could have sat on your bottom. You've done it for nearly 600 days now. You're a number one contender for Deontay Wilder. You should have been flying, in my opinion, out to Mexico with your lawyers, trying to get the WBC to force Wilder into a fight. Instead of coming out with all these ridiculous theories about why Wilder wouldn't fight him, and the PBC and Al Heyman and all sorts of ridiculous convoluted theories, instead of putting all your energy into fantasy, you should have been putting all your energy and money into fact and getting on that plane, getting over to Mauricio Suleiman's office in downtown Mexico City and convincing them that you were worth the title fight, that you were promised with Wilder if he beat Robert Hellenius in something like October 2017. And now you're fighting the hardest guy in your sequence, incredible sequence of four wins, a guy who has got every chance of beating you, who's a really good heavyweight, who's an avoided heavyweight. He's been on loads of people's lists for 18 months. No one will touch him. And I'm telling you, it's a risky, it's a tricky, it's a dangerous fight. And I'll tell you the other thing. If Dillian White loses, you know, he's been making a few enemies. There's going to be no great clamour to get Dillian White back in for a big fight. Look, I think this is a brilliant fight. I think it's a risky fight. I think it's a stupid fight.
That's the thing, Bunty. Like, you know, everything you've said there is absolutely spot on. It. You know, at some point in your career, you're going to have to, you know, for want of a better phrase, kiss ass a little bit. You're going to have to do the things that no one wants to do. And, you know, going on your own YouTube channel and you know, whatever you know and whatever you think, implying or alleging that Anthony Joshua lost because he didn't have the right, you know, stimulants. When you're under the same umbrella as him, he's absolutely ludicrous. How are you going to get ahead of it? I'm not saying anyone should be like, you know, brown nosing against anyone or anything like that, but, you know, he's too much of his own. He's too much of the kind of, you know, the bad guy, isn't he, really?
See, let me tell you something. There was a brilliant boxer who went to two Olympics one in the 80s, one in the 90s. He was unbelievable. When he turned professional, there was talk about how much he would make. You know, I'm telling you, it was one of the most exciting 17, 18, 19-year-old talents I've ever seen. That guy now drives a taxi, and I can assure you, and I know this for a fact, he drives a minicab in North London, and I can assure you that everyone that gets in his cab, he tells them how great he could have been, and he lists the people he sparred with, and he lists the things, and then he lists the reasons. You can't get out of the taxi, I know this, because he didn't recognize me, and he was telling me all the reasons, this guy, and the FBI, and the mafia, and this convoluted story about drug cartels, and how this happened, and if this hadn't have happened, and then there was these Russians, and those were all the reasons why he never got the breaks. He never got the breaks because all he did was scream and moan and scream and moan and scream and moan. Well, Dillian White, thankfully, has the money in the bank. He's got plenty of money in the bank. But there needed to be a different approach and maybe some different type sound bites. Because if he loses to Rivas and never gets his crack and never gets the real money, and in 10 years' time, he's trying to tell you about this underworld of people, and that's the reason he did this and he did that and he did this and he delivered a bag of $1 million to make sure I didn't get that fight. Who cares? Who cares? You know, listen, if he knocks out Rivas, then brilliant. He becomes the interim champion, and in theory, he gets a fight with Wilder. Well, we know Wilder's got to fight Ortiz. We know Wilder has agreed to fight Fury. So he becomes the interim champion in July of 2019, and he fights, in theory, he ends up fighting Wilder, if Wilder's still the champion, in what? May of 2021.
Mm. Yeah.
That means he would have been the number one challenger since October 2017. To 18, to 19, to 20. 3.5 years. My God.
Unbelievable. Yeah.
And that means he's also got to stay unbeaten next year before he gets Wilder. As I say, in October of 2017, he should have got on a plane with a good lawyer. George Groves did it against Carl Froch.
Yeah.
He got on a plane. He made that fight happen. He went and spoke to the IBF in their offices. He made the rematch happen. That's a fact. Mm. George could have stayed at home moaning and screaming and talking about unfair this and crooked this and this, that and the other. No, he didn't. He did the right thing. He did it the proper way. That's the way the business works. If you don't like that, then you need to go and watch netball.
Which, by the way,
is a good sport.
Yeah, which is great. It's very entertaining. Who wins this then?
Well, listen, I've made such a strong point, such a strong case for Rivas. I mean, I fancy Rivas. I do.
It's like the odds are 100-30 Rivas, 2-9 Dillian White, draw 25-1. That should be much closer, Bunsy, shouldn't it?
What's Dillian White on points?
Dillian White to win on points is even money.
Okay, and what's Rivas to win on points?
7-1.
Wow.
Yeah, I know.
So against Brian Jennings, right, who's a perfectly good fighter, Rivas was about to win on points before he stopped him. Mm. You know what? This to me, it's a pick-em fight. Let's go for the sakes of this pod and my sanity. Let's go with White on points.
Right. White on points, it will be
dead close.
Yeah, no, I get that. If you know, from a betting perspective, anyone listening to this who likes a bet, if the expert says this is a pick'em and the odds are 2-9 and 100-30, they can make their own minds up on that, Bunsy. But yeah, it's a fascinating fight, and like you say, fingers crossed, Dillian White comes through and impresses us all, and we all end up next week going, wow, he's put himself right in the front of that. Loads of odds on this, by the way. There's alternate group round betting, and there's a special offer on White winning in the first half of the fight at 5-1. We've also got loads of enhanced odds. This goes against what Bunce said, but if you like this bet, White, Chisora and Allen all to win by stoppage is 9-1. So I'll give you a bit of interest. If you get if you get Allen in earlier on, then you might be a decent little bet. Little reminder that William Hill's top price guarantee on all round betting as well. So if you're having a bet on a finish in a specific round, then you won't get a better price than anywhere else than here at William Hill. Bunsy, always an absolute pleasure. I'm just going to finish off by telling you that the ACCA that we've been slowly putting together here pays 253-1 with the bet boost. That's Pacquiao by decision, Nicoli in the second half of the fight, Price at 7-4, Chisora in the second half of the fight at 3-1, and Dillian White by decision, even money. A really good mixture of bets there, all with some nuance involved. Some of them we've put in there, but anything could happen in the fight, so beware of the nuance. The Bunce asterisks, if I'm allowed to nick that.
That's two massive asterisks.
Yeah. Bunce, thanks very much for your time. We've done a little bit longer than we normally do, but it's always a pleasure. We'll speak very soon.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.